If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number three now officially underway right here on the Early Line, SiriusXM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. It's Donnie Wrightside and Stubbs Anderson, and the topics continue to flow. And in hour number three, we're going to have our resident MLB insider Craig Mish joining us to talk about all of the Major League Baseball playoffs, the hot doings here, who's winning, who's losing, who's going to advance. A lot of good stuff to talk about. But Dubsy, the energy, and it's just been here all morning. It's a fast-moving show. One more hour to go. Where are the vibes? Let's get a vibe check in here.
Electric, Donnie. The radar's going beep, 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 beep. Yeah. Wednesday's off the chains here. I already told you, it's my favorite day of the week. It's my favorite couple of hours getting to hang out with you, chop it up. And what a time in the sports world, sports wagering landscape. We're getting set for more wildcard baseball, the playoffs, the W, there's golf. We're getting set for week five in the National Football League. What else do you want, Donnie? If this ain't enough, I don't know what to say. I feel like Russell Crowe and the Gladiator. Are you not entertained? Yeah. You should be.
Yeah. The Spaniard is here and ready to rock.
That's
and also, that includes Joe Maddon. Yeah, Joe Madden's actually going to be here talking hockey. That's what else you can anticipate as well. We're covering the globe here today, people, making sure all the hottest topics get covered to get you prepared for what's going to happen today, which includes this. Sports Grid. Yes, we love to talk to the people on a day-to-day basis and find out exactly what they're thinking about during these games. So our Fade the Public poll today, this is the question. Which team is trailing 1-0 is the best bet to win their wild card series? Which means you better win today, and that means you have to win in game number three as well. If we asked the public, they responded. 43% of those votes coming in on the Houston Astros at a plus 148 price. The Orioles at plus 176, 24.6% of the vote. The Brewers at a plus 260 price at a 21% number, and the Braves plus 350 only getting 10.9% of the votes. Dubs, I'll ask you first, who got your wager in this environment?
Tony, I must have missed the Twitter poll, the X poll.
Yeah,
I didn't get a chance to throw my click in there. Yeah. Unbelievable. But for me, I'm the same as the public. Houston Astros, I know they got rolled there last night. They went up against that buzzsaw. They're not going to get that for game two, game three in their building. They've got that championship DNA, the pedigree, the experience. We thought maybe there'd be a couple of question marks for some of the young guys coming in for the Astros in a long and vigorous season. They found a way into October. They're going to figure out the rest. Hunter Brown gets the start out there this afternoon. Kikuchi, he's been fantastic since coming across. And what about Justin Verlander? Could we see the big fella back in the mix going against his old ball club? They've got the offense, they've got the defense, they've got the momentum. They're going to figure things out. I'm going to scratch off what we saw in game one. It's the Houston Astros to get my vote. They can still find a way out of this series to advance.
I agree. I voted with the Astros as well at that plus 148 price and 43.4% of the public. So we're not fading them here. And also, the public, myself and Dubsy, we're not dummies here. Look at the odds market today and just say, you know what? Let the odds lead you in the right direction. Now, granted, just because you're a favorite doesn't mean you're going to win that baseball game. But currently, the FanDuel Sportsbook is telling you Houston's a minus 174 favorite. Look at the other games. Minus 152, minus 116, minus 118. So the favorite with the most juice here is Houston. Houston does have a good pitching matchup today with Brown versus Halton. So I agree today with the public that yes, the Astros should get your vote as a chance to get in. Also keep in mind, you're staying in the same city. So the teams that are down 0-1 here that have home field advantage, the Baltimore Orioles and also the Houston Astros, you're not going, hell, game number three, we got to win that on the road. All three of those games played in the home city, so that's certainly going to play it out here. But again, getting back to the poll at Sports Grid here, the Astros at plus 148 are the favorites here in the clubhouse at close to 44% of the vote, and the Braves bringing up the rear at 11%. Now, let's flip it over and still have those hot topics in the NFL. And I know this topic is going to continue to come up until, Dubsy, a trade goes down. That's Davante Adams of the Las Vegas Raiders. Finally, it's been like a year and a half. Does he want to leave? Does he not want to leave? No, I like it in Vegas. There's a reason why I chose Vegas. But now Davante Adams is going to his organization, the Las Vegas Raiders, and say, you know what? I think I do want to skip town here. Can you facilitate a trade for me? And the Las Vegas Raiders, starting that process of answering phone calls, making phone calls, putting out feelers. It's going to take at least a second round draft pick and excess compensation. Let's start there first, Dubsy. What are the chances that Davante Adams is moved? And also, how quickly from the Raiders does he get moved?
There's a really good chance Davante Adams is going to be on the road. He is leaving Sin City. I expect it to be before week 7. I would take the unders. We're going into week 5, next 2, maybe 3 weeks. And I think Davante Adams will be at a new destination. And there's so many viable suitors. You know, you could make the case that he is still affordable. 31 years of age. There's plenty of upside despite dealing with that niggling hamstring concern. But I don't think he's going to stay in the building. Antonio Pierce has made it very clear you're either buying in or you're out. It feels like they're still trying to rebuild and put the pieces in place. And for, you know, the longevity of the Las Vegas Raiders, Davante Adams, he wants to win now. He's still one of the best in the game, and he wants a quarterback who can set him up for success. It just hasn't worked out so well in Sin City. And maybe a potential reunion at the Jets there with Adam Rodgers. These two with Aaron Rodgers. Are we throwing out some names today, Donnie? Adam Rodgers, the brother of Aaron. But they have not been shy about their desire to link up again. And the Jets would be a great destination because the chemistry hasn't been there with Garrett Wilson early in the season, and maybe it just buys the Jets a little bit more time as they figure things out. But I don't think Davante Adams is going to be a Raider once it's all said and done.
By the way, yeah, I mean, Aaron Rodgers actually is playing like Adam Rodgers, to be honest, at this point in the season for the New York Jets. Something does have to improve. We're going to talk about the Jets in just a moment. But Diana Rossini did put out a tweet earlier this morning, about an hour ago, and it states, the Jets and Cowboys are among the many teams monitoring the Davante Adams situation. Both have checked in with the Raiders. I'm told at this point that Vegas is in no rush to make a move until a team reaches their asking price, which, again, makes sense, and also says Adams wants out ASAP. So once again, you don't want the disgruntled employee in the building for all that long. I'm wondering how quickly these moves are made. And keep in mind, you start to install your game plans on Wednesday afternoon. Does it happen this weekend? Does it wait for next weekend? And also, more importantly, where is he going to go? Which does bring up the New York Jets, which I don't know how much help Aaron Rodgers needs running that organization, but everything it seemed like in the past he asked for, he has gotten here. He has weapons at wide receiver. He has a decent tight end. They tried to fix that offensive line. He has Breece Hall in the backfield. He has Braylon Allen as a tailback. And now we're saying he needs Davante Adams on top of already having Garrett Wilson. And by the way, Dubsy, being a wide receiver in my past here, if I'm the lead dog wide receiver in that clubhouse and my quarterback continuously wants to bring in new wide receivers, I'm telling the Jets I want out here. So what's the thoughts here for Davante Adams going to the Jets in your mind?
Well, I think Aaron Rodgers is making all the decisions up top, and we've seen that over the last couple of years. And I think there is a bit of smoke between him and head coach Salah. What he wants, he's got a very good chance of getting, and I really don't think he's reading the room. I don't think he's afraid of upsetting a couple of the other weapons, but he should be. You look at the numbers for Aaron Rodgers, they haven't been good. You obviously, last year doesn't count, but prior to that, everything has been on the decline outside of interceptions for the last 3 years. For Davante Adams coming in, sure, it's a bankable wide receiver that he knows better than anyone else in the league, but I don't think it'll be great for the Jets' chances. You know, for a guy like Garrett Wilson, he's been very patient in waiting around for his starter quarterback to come back and funnel the rock to him. And now he would have to split it. He would have to be the second mouth at the table in trying to get fed. I think there's a good chance. What Aaron Rodgers wants, he absolutely gets. And if he wants Davante Adams, he would do everything in his power. He does not care about losing the locker room or ruffling a couple of feathers. I don't like it, but it is what it is. Davante Adams, he's out of Sin City. And I think New York, the Jets, will be one of the top shopping lists for him.
And here's the interesting point, too. They were bad on offense. It was rainy conditions. You're still supposed to beat the Denver Broncos. Dubs. I mean, your Bo Nix threw for 60 yards in that game and beat Aaron Rodgers. That can't happen. But now you're technically on the road in a neutral site as you go over to the UK. But here's the interesting part. It's the Minnesota Vikings, one of the better defenses in football. If the Jets lose that game and struggle on offense again, does the pressure get ratcheted up on that organization to make a move and get said Devontae in town sooner than later? If you're waiting for a bye week, that's not going to help them. That's not coming till November here. So they get a couple more weeks of football as opposed to, hey, we'll add Devontae over the break. Sooner than later, Devontae is going to be moved. And maybe you see that loss on Sunday morning. If that's the case for the Jets, they make a move sooner than later. Craig Mitch up next. Major League Baseball playoffs. No better place to be than right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into the early line. Backs against the wall. Teams could be going home today. Season's over. Teams advancing. It's all in a day's work here. It's Donnie Wrightside. It's Dubs Anderson. We welcome in Craig Mish. Oh, boy, Craig. I mean, look, we need some help today. We need some answers today. And I hope you're here to give us those questions and answers together.
I mean, it's postseason baseball. It's the wild card. Yeah. I said anything could happen yesterday here on the show, and that's exactly what happened was anything. I'll do my best, guys, but if you have coins, you can flip them.
Ah, talking about flipping some coins here, Craig. We got to get down to it. It's the Daily Basis with Craig Mitch right now.
Craig!
Oh, we added it in. Extra style points given today. And you do get those extra style points here, Craig, from the Mets in their 8-4 victory yesterday over the Milwaukee Brewers. You can't knock this team down. They're down 2-0 in the first inning. Ah, you know what? Better get them tomorrow. We just weren't rested enough in time. We'll make sure we win in game number two. Then comes the Mets offense. 8 runs before he got out of the fifth inning. They were absolutely incredible yesterday. The Mets, maybe the hottest team in baseball at the plate right now.
Yeah, and they're hot at the right time, and we are seeing that, by the way, from the Tigers, too. And so this is kind of a really fun series, I think, to watch in the National League. I do think Milwaukee's got a good shot to even this up today. But needless to say, I think the Mets obviously are now huge favorites to win the series, regardless of the fact that all three games are going to be played in Milwaukee. And it just goes to show you the hot teams, as they get here, Donnie, in the end, they tend to overcome all the adversity. There was this big narrative that the Mets had played a doubleheader, then they're going to have to fly across the country and play. It didn't make any difference whatsoever. Let's give the Brewers a lot of credit. They, you know, certainly have had a season nobody expected, but right now they're up against it, and they're probably going to throw everything at the wall today to win.
Craig, a lot of bettors will jump in and play the better off the starting arms. Who's going to have the edge out there on the hill? We've got Manaea going for the Mets, Frankie Montas for the Brewers. 5.5Ks, 4.5Ks are the props set at the FD Sportsbook, but who's the starting arm to watch out for?
Yeah, I think that the Brewers have a big advantage today against Manaea, and certainly the Mets had to throw a bunch of pitchers to get here, and I think that's kind of the reason why that is. That's not to say that Montas is a stopper by any means, but guys, you know, the Brewers are well-rested. They have the rotation in a line. I think the Brewers win today, and then it goes down to a Game 3. Mets could easily win, by the way, Game 3.
By the way, also, you take a look at the West Coast and, you know, the Braves in that same similar stance here to the New York Mets. They had to take a little bit farther of a plane flight out there, but their offense didn't get off the plane. But also, you take a look at Michael King. Very rarely do we see, like, hey, you know, you give up on a guy like Juan Soto, who might be one of the best players in baseball. You're never going to really stack up to what you get back in compensation. King was phenomenal yesterday, Craig.
Yeah, he was. And one of the better trades that the, you know, the Padres have made, he has absolutely been fantastic for them. And you look back now on the Juan Soto trade, maybe the Padres did okay too. Now, again, Yankees will basically judge that, whether or not they keep Soto at the end of the season. But I think it's fair to say right now, as we talked about on the show yesterday, I think I said that in one of these games, the Braves are probably going to get shut out. And one of these games are going to score like 7 or 8 runs. The Braves have to hope that this is today. I would expect them to have a better performance, but the Padres are absolutely in the driver's seat at this point.
Not a high total, 6.5 projected. That always seems like it's a low score down at Petco. But is the Padres, I mean, is this a team, Craig, that if they can advance through the wild card that could, you know, put a bit of fear in their opponents, notably with the Dodgers up next?
I mean, look, if Michael King pitches that way every time, Dubs, then yes, but I don't think so. I think that the Phillies are better. I think that the Dodgers are better. And it's going to be a much different scenario playing those teams seven games with rest. Now, I know that that has not worked out for those teams in the past. The teams with rest have gone down. Texas, Arizona didn't have it. They ended up getting to the World Series last year. I think we're going to see the mold broken this year. I think at the very least, one of the teams, AL or NL, is going to be one of those teams that got the rest, and that's going to help them.
Craig, in a short series in the American League, the one team I was saying I would not want to face is the Detroit Tigers, because you knew you were going to get Tarek Skubal right away in that rotation. Six innings pitch, no earned runs, six strikeouts, a win for the Detroit Tigers to go up 3-1 over the Astros, and he knocks off Framber Valdez. Incredible performance by another young pitcher making his playoff debut.
Yeah, it should surprise no one. This is exactly what we talked about yesterday. This was the one game that I thought, you know, didn't know who's going to win, to be transparent, but under the total, obviously, you had the two aces there. So now the game completely changes because, you know, while Detroit can certainly win today, they're going to have to win in a close, low-scoring game, I think, because Holton is not what Skubal is. You heard A.J. Hinch last week basically say, hey, we're going to just have chaos after game one. Detroit has the equalizer. If they can get past this round, guys, they can get past another round too, with Skubal going three times in a seven-game series. But you just kind of have to wonder, does Detroit have enough the next two games to get past Houston? I would expect the Astros at some point, whether it's today or if they get it to a game three, to score some runs. So you cannot count the Astros out. We tried to do that back in June. That was a mistake. Let's not do it here either.
Mm-hmm. And back in June, there's a lot of question marks, Craig, behind the Houston Astros. They've got that championship DNA, if you will. But what's been, I guess, the key to the success, making it through to October baseball and here again trying to rattle the Tigers for game two?
Yeah, you know, young pitchers coming up. You know, Hunter Brown's going to pitch today. They really still have done a great job despite not having the farm system that they have had previously. And, you know, obviously getting Kyle Tucker back healthy, critical to them. I don't know how healthy Alvarez is right now for them as well. You know, Alex Bregman, Altuve, they have Warriors Dubs that have been through this before in the postseason. So it's almost like back in the summer, they didn't panic at all. And I don't expect them to panic tonight either. Detroit, to me, you know, even going back a few weeks ago, as we talked about here, great shot, great odds to do serious damage in the postseason. But I'm not going to make the mistake of counting Houston out after one game.
There's panic in the streets in Baltimore as yesterday. They didn't bring any offense to the table. 1-0 victory. Cole Reagans again. Six innings pitched, four hits, zero earned runs, and eight Ks. And you can't blame it on Corbin Burns. Oh, we got Corbin for these big moments. Eight innings pitched, one earned run. Wasn't good enough for it. Big time win for Kansas City. And again, the pressure back on Baltimore now to win today, Craig.
Yeah, I thought Baltimore would win this series in three, and I'm concerned right now for them. I think you have to be, because, again, the Royals were not playing great baseball in the month of September, and they were able to steal this game. You're telling me all they have to do is steal one more? I think it's possible. You know, again, these series are just so difficult to call at this point, but I do think Baltimore wins one game of the three. I may be wrong on this one. Maybe the Royals do win the series.
We'll see if they rise up, but that's the Daily Basis here with Craig Mitch. Make sure you stay tuned to Newswire, 11 a.m. Eastern. Craig Mitch, he's a superstar. Watch him at 11. We'll be right back after this short commercial break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ah, yes, Dubsy, it could be over quickly here for the playoff hopes of the Houston Astros. Why? They lost yesterday, and today they are first up on deck with a game that starts at 2:32 Eastern. Now, why it's 2:32, I don't know. Just sounds good, but we'll be able to watch some afternoon baseball once again. If we're lining the sides up, Houston is a heavy favorite. Right now at the FanDuel Sportsbook, that number, a minus 174 price on the money line. The total in this game, Dubsy, sits at 7.5. Holton, the left-handed pitcher, will be on the mound for Detroit going up against Hunter Brown, the right-handed pitcher of the Houston Astros. The biggest favorite of the day, and just looking at the odds market, it now even went higher, Dubsy, from a minus 174 up to a minus 178. Are we in agreement, or should I say, are you in agreement that that number should be going that high and Houston should be the prohibitive favorite today?
Houston should be the favorites, but there's no value behind that number. The juice worth the squeeze after a minute, mate. I think it's a little too high there. Minus 174, 7.5. I think we can expect to see a bit more offense than what we got out of the Astros there on Tuesday afternoon. They've been really consistent over the last month. I think they get back to scoring where they've been pretty strong in their environment, their atmosphere. But for the Houston Astros, it's a get-right spot. I think they pick up game two. We highlighted earlier in the show, Donnie, it was the buzzsaw of Skubal yesterday that lifted the Tigers. I don't think Holton is going to bring the same punch. And I do think we see a few more runs late in this game. I think Astros get off to a fast start. They control it. For the Tigers, they'll say, hey, what resources do we really want to throw into this, you know, late in game two and put eyes towards game three there back in Houston. So I think the Astros have got a really good chance of not just leveling up this series, but to take it 2-1. We're still getting some decent money considering they lost the opener at home there yesterday.
It is a kitchen sink game, too. So if Hunter Brown does struggle early, they're not going to let him ride it out to say, hey, Dubs, we can't use our bullpen because why? You don't have any more baseball games left in the regular season. Let's play a little bit of devil's advocate, because if we're looking for runs, I'm going to give you pointers on why we can get that. Parker Meadows, Kerry Carpenter, Matt Vierling, Riley Green, and Wencel Perez. Each one of those five batters we anticipate to start this game against right into pitching over the past month have done very well. 350, 414, 345, 370, and 421 are those weighted on base percentages. Now, let's flip it over and say, all right, Donnie, how did the Houston batters do against left-handed pitching, particularly over the past month? Well, if you want to take out the game yesterday where they faced the best lefty in baseball, that's not the case today. You're going to get a middle-of-the-road, to me, left-handed pitcher on the mound. Having said that, though, here's the interesting part, right? You take a look at Altuve, Tucker, Alvarez, Bregman, and Diaz. 1-5 there. Sensational weighted on base percentages and ISO power numbers. So you got to look at that. You got two guys that you just told me have had two teams that have really good starts against these type of pitchers. But then you take a look at Tyler Holton on the season, 356 batters he's faced, an ISO against, 106, a weighted on base percentage, a 217. You flip it over to Hunter Brown. Let's just go his last 30 days, 96 batters faced here, an 078 ISO, and a weighted on base percentage of 267. So something has to give today. Either the batters are going to stay on par with what I just told you there's statistics are, or the pitching is going to win out. It is a high leverage situation for Houston, which means all hands on deck. And certainly we're going to see how that one does play out here. Kansas City and Baltimore, second game of the day, 438 start. Seth Lugo, Zach Eflin, -152 favorite here for the Baltimore Orioles in a total of 7.5. Once again, a home team facing an elimination in an afternoon game today, Dubsy.
Yeah, there's a lot of green lights here pointing towards it should be all about the Baltimore Orioles. For Zach Eflin, he's been pretty strong through the regular season, top 30 ERA, 134 Ks there. In terms of the last couple of starts, he's got the result, three of the last five there. They should try and leave him in for four, maybe five innings pitched. It's just going to depend on how he starts this game. If he gives up a bit of offense, it could be all over. Must-win spot, decent starting arm getting out there for Baltimore with the bats getting set to light up. We're not going to get another scoreless affair like we saw yesterday with the Royals getting that win 1-0. A few more runs for this one. I think Baltimore alive and trying to square this thing up.
It is so. We just talked to Craig Mish, and yes, it is so hard to predict these games because typically in the regular season, Dubsy, right, you know that pitcher's going to go at least 5-6 innings. You know who's coming into the bullpen. We don't know, particularly because the Baltimore Orioles, they hope their starting pitcher goes 6-7 innings and is dominant, but if he struggles even early, this might even be a 1-0 game, Dubsy, in the third inning with two runners on and one out, and they could pull their starting pitcher to start to go matchup by matchup the rest of the way. But Seth Lugo, pitcher for the Kansas City Royals, really good over the last 30 days. You take a look at his 090 ISO and weighted on base percentage against a 237. That's spectacular. Zach Eflin, a little bit of a mixed card here, particularly struggling against left-handed batters. Massey, Pasquantino, Melendez, Isbell. Maybe they can do damage, but it's playoff baseball, and we can't wait for it. Dubs is out of here. Great job over the first 2.5 hours. I'll go solo before Joe Madden comes on. The train keeps rolling on the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Early line continues to roll on. Donnie Wright's out here talking Major League Baseball. Why? Because we got wild card action today. Four more games today after four games yesterday. Dubs Anderson helped us out over the first 2.5 hours. Sensational stuff. But we did look at those Tigers, Astros game, as well as Royals Orioles, with also those games yesterday, very low scoring. You had a total of 4 runs between the Tigers and the Astros. That game had a fantastic pitching performance on one side by Tarek Skubal, who's going to win the AL Cy Young Award winning. The question here today is, they throw another lefty on the mound, and will the Houston Astros lineup wake up? Went over some of those statistics on weighted on base percentages and ISO power numbers against said pitchers. Maybe they do wake up, but the biggest favorite of the day on the mound today will be Hunter Brown of the Astros. And in game number 2 we talked about, which will also take place this afternoon, no offense whatsoever for the Baltimore Orioles yesterday. They didn't score, only had 5 hits, but also it wasn't as if the Kansas City Royals lit up Camden Yards yesterday. They scored 1 time on a Bobby Witt single in the top of the 6th inning, and that was good enough to win. We got a little bit more runs in the later game yesterday between the Mets and the Brewers. That was 8-4, and that's the game that we're going to preview now and see how it actually sets up. If we're looking from a pitching perspective, you guys know how I love the handicap, and you're going to see the graphic come up. It's roughly a pick 'em. -110 split for the New York Mets, -106 here for the Milwaukee Brewers, and a total that's listed at 7.5. The matchup on the mound today will be Sean Manaea. It's going to be pitching for the New York Mets. And then you take a look at Frankie Montas. If you look at the past 60 days and go by ERA, Frankie Montas was at a 4.55, Sean Manaea at a 3.41, but very similar XFIP numbers, a 3.56 for Montas, 3.56 for Manaea, and also a 3.59 here listed for Frankie Montas. So in that same ballpark, but sometimes when you get the handicaps, things start to come out because you say, okay, pick them in this game, must-win scenario for Milwaukee. That should be in their favor, and they're in their home ballpark knowing that. So it will be a kitchen sink game. But if you are analyzing what makes sense with these pitchers, Sean Manaea on the mound. I just told you about the 60 days. Let's look full season. It's actually been really good, guys. A 136 ISO power number and a 278 weighted on base percentage if you combine lefty and righty batters against them. Now, let's take a look at Sean Manaea. Forget about the 60 days. Just told you what those XFIP numbers were and focus on just the last month here to try to gain an edge. 121 batters that he's faced, a 162 ISO against, which is average, but his weighted on base percentage against, guys, that's a 264. That's really good. Here's the problem that works into it a little bit. His last 32 batters that he's faced from the left-handed side, keep in mind Manaea is a left-handed pitcher, he has struggled with. The only question is, you're not going to get a ton of left-handed batters in the lineup today for the Milwaukee Brewers. Looks like it's going to be possibly Mitchell, Frelick, and also Terang. Not great hitters overall, but Mitchell, as a lefty, does have some pretty good numbers against Manaea, or should I say against left-handed pitchers like Manaea, but against right-handed batters, Sean Manaea has been fantastic, guys. A 125 ISO against and a weighted on base percentage of 245 based on his last 89 batters over the past month. Now, here's where you worry if you're a Milwaukee fan, because I just told you, the pitching matchups basically are going to be a coin flip if we're just looking at XFIP numbers, but also you have to slide in how hot that Mets lineup has actually been. Frankie Montas is going to be on the mound for the Milwaukee Brewers. If you look at his season, it hasn't been that good, guys. You're looking at a 659 batters he's faced, an ISO of 177, which is slightly elevated if we combine lefty and righty batters. If we look at the weighted on base percentage, that's a 328, right around average. The thing is, he's dominated on the season. He's faced 315 right-handed batters to the tune of a 131 ISO power number and a weighted on base percentage of 273. That's really good. But that tune changes, guys, once we look at the right-handed pitching Montas going up against left-handed batters on the season. On the season, 344 left-hand batters he's faced, that's a 221 ISO power number. If we include the weighted on base percentage, that's a 379. That's going to be troublesome today. Let's go now to the last 30 days of how he's actually done. Does it hold up under those seasonal statistics? Has he improved against maybe a right-handed batter or left-handed batter? Check these out. 103 batters he's faced over the past month. If you look at his ISO power numbers combined, that's a 281. That is in the danger zone. Weighted on base percentage, 340, slightly above average. But let's take a look and start with right-handed batters going up against Montas here on the season itself. I told you, he was filthy. He was dominant against those. But in the last 30 days, that ISO power number is up to 234. That's not a good sign, which means the power is getting off. The one thing we know about Montas is he does strike out batters at a 37% clip over the past month. But hear me out on this. The way to attack this game, if you like a side, maybe you bet the Mets, right? But I'm looking at left-handed batters. The reason being, 50 left-handed batters Frankie Montas has faced over the past 30 days, an ISO power number of 333, a weighted on base percentage of 413. That is terrible. And if we're looking at the lineup today and saying, how are some of these left-handed bats doing over the past month against right-handed pitching for the Mets? Francisco Lindor on fire. 54 at-bats over the past month against right-handed pitchers. He'll be a lefty today, a 306 ISO power number, and a weighted on-base percentage of 455. You slip it down in that lineup and take a look at Brandon Nimmo. His last 72 at-bats going up against right-handed pitching. That's a 258 ISO power number. Weighted on-base percentage a little bit lower, 316, but the power is what you want. That isolated power is going to let you know how many doubles, how many triples, how many home runs that they've had, which also equates to, if we figure it's going to be lower scoring, like that 7.5, maybe you can pick off a guy like Lindor in that plus 150 to plus 175 range for an RBI. The same thing with Brandon Nimmo. So on two pitchers technically even here in that XFIP market over the past 60 days, I do see Frankie Montes leaking just a little bit against lefties, even though he has a great strikeout percentage over the past month, and that could be something that certainly could play into it. Wild card game number two today. Atlanta and San Diego. Atlanta, same thing as the New York Metropolitans, man. They had that chance to advance into the playoffs on Monday, and they did that, but made it a little bit harder because it took them to game number two to get engaged. Now, you saw the New York Mets fly up to Milwaukee, not as long a flight as the Atlanta Braves had out to San Diego, and boy, did they face a buzzsaw in Michael King yesterday. So if we're lining the odds up for this game, which will start at 8:38 tonight, it's Max Fried that's going to be on the mound, the left-handed pitcher for the Atlanta Braves, and it's going up against here Joe Musgrove of the San Diego Padres. If we see the opening odds, it was actually a minus 116 price here for the home team, San Diego Padres. And that looks like that's the chance to get them to close out. We now see on the graphics up to a minus 120 price with a total. How about this, people? 6.5. That is playoff baseball, no doubt about it. Now, if we're looking at the pitching matchups today and going over the past 60 days, Max Fried's got some pretty good numbers. A 3.53 ERA, which is okay, but you equate it to an XFIP number of 3.14. That's really good. If we take a look at Joe Musgrove here, he's actually third on the card, just below Max Fried, with a 2.15 ERA through 50 and a third innings pitched and an XFIP number of 3.18. So it does check out that we're probably looking to more of an under than an over. Now, it is nice if hopefully the gambling gods push through here at the FanDuel Sportsbook and maybe raise that up to a 7. That's much better because then it takes 8 runs to beat you as opposed to 7. But if we are lining up these two pitchers and what the anticipation is against the lineup, Max Fried's numbers have been absolutely staggeringly good over the season. 713 batters he's faced, an 0.88 ISO power number, and a weighted on base percentage of 278. Over the past month, he's faced 133 batters. His ISO power number against 0.81. Weighted on base percentage, 255. Absolutely tremendous. And we look at that Padres lineup that does well against right-handed pitching over the past month, doesn't do so well against left-handed pitching. Look at some of these numbers. Outside of Luis Arraez, Fernando Tatis and Manny Machado, those numbers are devastatingly low, weighted on base percentage-wise and also ISO power-wise. Let's flip it over to the Atlanta Braves. Joe Musgrove is going to be on the mound. His last 30 days, very good against lefties, struggling a bit against right-handed batters, which could leave the door open. The Atlanta Braves, over their past month with their lineup against right-handed pitching, it's been very good. First six guys in that lineup that we anticipate, Harris, Albies, Ozuna, Olsen, Soler, and Laureano, all high ISO power numbers and also high weighted on base percentages. The one thing that's tough here for the Braves is, yes, you got to win two more games on the West Coast to try to advance. You're already up against it. You're down Chris Sale, but they do have some decent statistics here that show they have a really good pitcher on the mound and a lineup that's doing very well against right-handed pitching and particularly against a guy Musgrove that has struggled a little bit with right-handed bats. Maybe we get a long shot there from Jorge Soler. Maybe they keep it together. Oh, it's going to be fun to watch this baseball play out today. Joe Maddon joins me next right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ah, the fun, the guests, the surprises always keep rolling here on the Early Line, Sirius XM Channel 159, right here on the Sports Grid Network. Down your right side here, joined by Joe Maddon to check the temperature of the Chargers. Joe, how are we doing today?
Doing pretty good and excited for this team here. They have been outperforming what I would have thought, and even in their loss this past weekend, Johnny, I thought they did look better than expected. So happy to see them so far.
Yeah, let's check in because it's the perfect time, right? You get the Chargers, the 2-2 on the season, the bye week this week. And boy, sometimes you look at the schedule and say, it's really beneficial not to have that bye week earlier. You'd rather have it later in the season. But so many players banged up on the Chargers, it comes at the perfect time. They sit at 2-2. If we take a look at their point differential, they are at a plus 18 and make the playoffs at a plus 142. Hard-fought loss last week against the first-place team in the AFC West. That was the Kansas City Chiefs, where they had a 10-0 lead. But talk to me about the Chargers, what you've seen under Harbaugh already, and what the future holds for them this season.
Yeah, looking at Jim Harbaugh here, he's done an amazing job so far with this team. I was shocked when they went 2-0 to start the season, and they did lose those last couple games to the Steelers and the Kansas City Chiefs. But you look at those losses and how strong they did perform, and you said it, Donnie, this bye week coming at the right time. Well, you never like to have bye weeks early. This team absolutely needs it. You look at that offensive line, Joe Oates and Slater out for that last game, and the offensive line still stood tall, protecting Justin Herbert in a lot of those situations. Now, this team has turned more to a run game. We no longer need Justin Herbert to get that ball flying down the field for over 200 yards per game, which, you know, as a fan, you love those big plays. But if this team can make the playoffs with Jim Harbaugh's new scheme, you've got to think that is a win. Dobbins here has been so strong on the ground, and that's the Chargers' game plan here. Come out, run that ball, and get Justin Herbert to throw it on those occasions when needed. Quinton Johnson has stood up. Now, we also have seen injuries to Joey Bosa, so hopefully he can get healthy here soon. And like you said, with that loss to Kansas City, we also had Derwin James out of the lineup for them to only allow Kansas City to win it by a touchdown. Everyone who took the Chargers with the hook did cover that spread. So I'm impressed with what we've seen out of this team at plus 142 to make the playoffs. I wasn't a believer going in, but I am a buyer on this team now. I just thought Justin Herbert lost too many weapons. You know, we lost Keenan Allen, which was the glaring weapon that it broke my heart, and I think it broke a lot of Charger fans' hearts losing Keenan Allen to the Bears. But this team, Jim Harbaugh, he has the weapons he needs to make the playoffs.
Yeah, Ladd McConkey looks good there also. And you're right about this. That bye comes at the right time. Derwin James not missing a game because he was injured, but suspended. He'll be back. Joey Bosa, if you're watching that football game, you saw him basically in the owner's box or at owner's suite sitting up there. He'll be back on the field. But it looks like that foundation has already been settled in here for Jim Harbaugh. I look for big things for the Chargers and maybe a legitimate chance to make the playoffs this year. Speaking about playoffs, if you do make the playoffs, Joe, you know what that means? You can win a Super Bowl championship. If we're looking at those odds, the Chiefs at a 5-1 price, followed by the 49ers at a plus 650. And by the way, the Chiefs are unbeaten. The 49ers have two losses, but yet they still sit second place here in the odds market at the FanDuel Sportsbook, followed by the Ravens, Bills, Lions, and Texans. What has shown up for you so far in the Super Bowl odds this season?
Well, you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, and who can deny them? No matter how many injuries this team has, as long as Patrick Mahomes is on the field and Andy Reid is on that sideline, this team has every opportunity to take it all this season, Donnie. I'm a believer in them. We know Rice went out with injury this past week, but this team is capable of getting things done. Now, there's question marks around Davante Adams of the Raiders and where he'll land. I could see him landing with the Kansas City Chiefs and just improving this offense a couple of steps more. When we look further down on the list, though, I think there's teams that you really have to consider. Huge buyer on the Minnesota Vikings. I can't believe what they're able to do this past weekend, going into Lambeau and getting that win over the Green Bay Packers. That's such a feat. And now, I was a buyer on this team for the season, but I didn't think they would be starting this one so phenomenally strong. So huge buyer on them. And then I think you really have to look here at the Baltimore Ravens to be able to take it all. I'm a buyer on them with Lamar and Derrick Henry. And this team offensively can move the ball. Defensively, they have the strength. And this team could have been undefeated on the season. They had a couple of tough, hard losses to start, in which they were competitive in those games. So I love what we saw out of them this past weekend versus the Buffalo Bills. For that defense to come out and shout out Josh Allen, I was blown away. I really do think they're competitors, the Baltimore Ravens here for the Super Bowl, Donnie.
It's pretty interesting to watch it play out, too, because you take a look at a team like the Baltimore Ravens, the Buffalo Bills, and maybe even, you know, the New York Jets, where if they can get Davante Adams, that's certainly going to lift their stock to see where they go. And you know it. The Kansas City Chiefs, they are 4-0, but they are a close 4-0 and seemingly losing players on a week-to-week basis. And the only thing I like to say, Joe, is like you're not playing Madden football right at this point where you can turn the injuries off. They'll continue to happen, but as long as you have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, you're certainly going to have a chance, no doubt about it. So Cowboys 21-1, Vikings 17-1. I still like the Lions. They sit there at that 11-1 price, Joe. Nice win on Monday Night Football against the unbeaten Seattle Seahawks here. That offense is a flat-out juggernaut. Yes, they lost to Baker Mayfield at home in a close game, but that's one of those teams I like to look out for. And quite so, you take a look at that division, the NFC North. It's awesome. It's the Packers. It's the Vikings and the Lions. Who would you say comes out of that, Joe, if I gave you those three teams?
Oh, you know, that is so hard to say. I think it does become between the Lions and the Vikings. Yeah. I'm high on both of these teams, Donnie, and we saw that offense finally start clicking for the Lions this past game. And as soon as that offense started clicking, that's where my belief came. You've got the defense there. Jared Goff didn't throw an interception like he did in those prior games. And I think they have their feet under them now and they have every ability to make a run. So Lions, Vikings, I don't know. We've also got the Packers with Love. It's a hard division, Donnie. One of these teams is going to surpass all of our expectations.
By the way, quick question on the 49ers. 2-2, banged up. Do we still believe that they're the second best team in the odds market here and the best team in the NFC?
Donnie, I can't. I can't believe they're sitting the second best in these odds. I really do think there's just way too many injuries for this team. And yes, they will get healthier and they've proven that they can make it. But a lot of people were not buying in on this defense coming into this season, and I'm not what we're seeing.
We're basically at the quarter pole here of the NFL, checking in winners and losers. But you know what's coming up soon here? It's the NHL, and Joe Madden's got you covered. Solo segment for Joe. Stay tuned. Winners and losers, come on back and find out.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line. Joe Madden here. We've got to talk some hockey, you guys. The season kicking off officially on Friday with the majority of the games starting on Tuesday. There's lots of time to get in your NHL futures. Now, I'm like a kid in the candy store when I start going over these futures, but I've narrowed down a nice selection for you guys. First, we've got to talk about who we think can make the Stanley Cup. Now, the Stanley Cup finals last season did not disappoint. We had the Florida Panthers taking it in seven over the Edmonton Oilers. And when we look at the odds, the Oilers are now the favorites. They're coming in right around that plus 850 mark to make the Stanley Cup finals, followed by the Florida Panthers to get that repeat. Now, I think we look further down the list. We look at the New Jersey Devils here. They're coming in at plus 1100. This team out of the Metro, and I do think they have every ability to take it all this season. Their head coach will be Sheldon Keith, and we know he is built to be a coach to take a team all the way. I do think he will have a phenomenal team behind him, and they made the biggest trade this season by getting Jacob Markstrom in net. That was the problem with this team last year. This team took a lot of penalties, and they weren't able to keep the puck out of the back of the net. But I think with Jacob Markstrom there, we have a team built to make it all the way to the Stanley Cup and win it. So the Devils at plus 1,100. is my favorite here for the Stanley Cup. When we move further down, we got to look at the Hart Trophy Award. Now, the Hart Trophy Award goes to the most valuable player out there for their team. Now, this is a voted on award, so you've got to be very careful because human nature comes into play. And when we look at Connor McDavid, he is the clear-cut favorite to win the Hart. When we look at him, he has won the Hart Award three times already. Back in 2017, he did win the Hart, and then he won it in 2021 and 2023. Now, can he win it again? He's going to be the betting favorite here, and everyone's going to be jumping all over Connor McDavid, especially when he was so phenomenally strong for the Edmonton Oilers last season. Now, he didn't win it last season. Nathan MacKinnon did, who is coming in at plus 500, the second favorite for the Hart. But you look at Connor McDavid here, and one injury will knock him out of contention for this Hart Trophy. I do think, again, you look at Connor McDavid, but you've got to look further down the list. Lewis, Nathan MacKinnon the second favorite, Austin Matthews the third out of Toronto. He's coming in at +850. But, you know, I would also look at Jack Hughes, because Jack Hughes on the New Jersey Devils with the value you're getting at +1100 is a nice long shot here. Jack Hughes has to stay out of the penalty box, but I do think he's going to be so impactful for his team. If the New Jersey Devils are able to make it to the Stanley Cup Finals, Jack Hughes has every ability. I think he's in for a huge year as well. He has never broken the 100-point mark, and I'm expecting him to hit right around 115 points this upcoming season. If he's able to do so, he's going to be the first New Jersey Devil to go over 100 points in one given season, and I do think it will make him the one of the top candidates here for the Hart Trophy. So give me Jack Hughes for the long shot. Give me Connor McDavid for the best bet for that Hart Trophy. And when we're looking at some win totals, guys, let's go over these really quick. You got to look at the Columbus Blue Jackets. The adversity this team has faced with the loss of Johnny Gaudreau is so tragic, and I do think this team is going to rally out there. I take all of the Sean Monahan props that you can take to the over. He's going to have a fantastic season. The Columbus Blue Jackets over 87.5 points. The Buffalo Sabres, I think this team people will be sleeping on, looking at over 87.5 points and to make the playoffs this upcoming season at +158, ending their playoff drought that they haven't made the playoffs since 2011 when they lost to the Flyers in the quarterfinals. Now, they've got a fantastic goalie in Lankinen. He's got a save percentage of .910 and a goals against average of .257. And I do think offensively, this team is so phenomenally strong. They'll have the speed. They've made some great additions this upcoming, for the upcoming season. The Buffalo Sabres, so the Buffalo Sabres, Columbus Blue Jackets, Ottawa Senators as well. They have Allmark from Boston. I'm looking at their win total over 92.5 and their ability to make the playoffs. And of course, the New Jersey Devils coming in here at over 101.5. points. I think they're going to be the best team in the Eastern Conference. Now, players to watch, you've got to watch Ovechkin. He's trying to catch Gretzky for that goal record. 42 plus goals this upcoming season. He only had 31 last season, but this is coming in at +1,000. You got to look at it. Nathan MacKinnon, also of the Colorado Avalanche, 1+ hat tricks in his first 10 games out there this season. He can get it, you guys. Look at that strength of schedule. There's going to be a lot of situations where Nathan MacKinnon is ready to get it done. Stay tuned. Greg Mish up next with New Flyer, you guys. Thanks for joining me here.